CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us, as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events, what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? Reading your Bible on your own? Someone asks you a question? That's why we're here. So give us a call. That number to call again, toll free, 888-ASK-CSN. And you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, Morning Times here on the CSN Radio Network. We have with us Daryl Skinner, a chosen generation and also the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Looking forward to the great calls that come in, the great questions that are asked, and hopefully we'll have great answers for all the folks out there from the Word of God. So it's good to be with you, Mike. Looking forward to this.
And I'm so blessed that I got to have you 2 days in a row.
I'm blessed to be here two days in a row. I always enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. You just love to hear from people and that their hunger and thirst for the Word of God and their relationship with Jesus is going to grow and be flourishing. So it's really cool. It's good to be on.
Amen. So look forward to answering some questions with you. Yep. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN if you want to be part of the program today. And let's go to the phones. We have Catherine on the line from San Dimas, California. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hello. How may we help?
Hi. This is my question. Okay, my husband and I are both believers now. My husband is currently incarcerated. However, I divorced him in 2017 for physically abusing me and for being unfaithful. Since then, God has saved us both and restored our marriage and our relationship. We still are currently divorced, but we want to live together when he gets out, and we want to know what God's going to think about that and what it looks like in his eyes, because we are still legally divorced.
Yeah, the Bible says that you sleep with your husband or your wife. That's all. And so I would say that you need to get remarried. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, a couple of aspects. Number one is I always have a word of caution, and that is give it time. See the fruit of the Spirit within his life, because you've gone through an awful lot with him already. And if he loves the Lord, he'll give it a little bit of time. You need to check his character, make sure it wasn't just Christ in incarceration, but it's Christ for life. And I think that's valuable and important. And because the information you just gave us is you've had a tough time, and we don't want you to have that tough time once again. Now, if he bears the fruit of the Spirit, the born-again life, over a period of time, and you guys go in for premarital counseling, and there's a good witness of all that, and you love each other, you have a peace about it, then yes, go ahead and remarry, and that would be fine. So, but it's I'm always cautious, because you got to give people time once they get out of prison. They've been really enclosed and so forth. They've been controlled greatly, and you need to make sure that his character is fully changed in following the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just a word of advice and counsel. That's all I can give you right now. You know him better than anyone, but you got to give it a little bit of time. Let the character unveil itself. Mike?
Yeah, because now, did he get saved in prison?
Yes. We always believed in God, but we were married for 22 years prior to this, all of this even happening. So we've been together, in our lifetime for over 30 years. So it's not like it's brand new. But yes, we both became saved while he's been in prison. But yes, I understand what you're saying, but I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about. Like, so do you do believe that, yes, you do have to legally get back, be remarried?
Well, yes, because otherwise, why would anybody get married? I mean, if you get married, get a divorce, and then you still live together, What purpose is that? So to be right with God, what the Bible says, that you leave and cleave, and that's what you need to do in order to be married. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. And again, I think, Daryl, what you said was very wise, because again, what is he going to be like when he gets out of prison? It isn't like you're strangers to each other, but it's the longevity of the relationship and with the Lord that's going to make the difference, whether you guys make it or not. And you don't want to get a divorce from him the second time, but just to live together doesn't really accomplish anything other than, you know, maybe giving him free rent. So that I would advise you to get me, if there's somebody that he can go stay with, a brother, family member, until you guys can figure this out, great. But if that's something you both want to do and get remarried, I don't see any problem with that. But again, you don't want to be shacked up. I just believe that is not what the Bible says we need to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, very clear on this. And Paul writes, and he says to the church, do not be deceived. And I don't want you or anybody else to be deceived, thinking, well, just living together, that's okay. You know, we made our special deal with God. There's not a special deal. Either you're married or you're not. And so I'd just encourage you to consider that. And again, Catherine, because God's brought you through so many things, and he doesn't want to see you get messed up again. I hope that helps.
No, it does very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Catherine, can I encourage you one last area? Is this, your husband needs to get out of prison, and then he needs to show the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Christ, and get a job and be working and moving forward in his life. And you've gone through a lot with him already. And I would just encourage you to take your time and make sure that it's the real deal. Okay. There's real believers and there's make believers. You want to make sure he's not a make believer. And I hate to say that, but I'm just sharing. It's important that if he's the real deal, he'll love the Lord. He's going to love you. He's going to respect you. And he's going to cherish you, and that's what you really want in a marriage relationship. And I know that will bless you and bless him too. But just make sure it's the real deal. And I hate to sound questionable about it all, but we hope it's the real deal. We pray it's the real deal, and you guys will live happily ever after. But just make sure he takes all the right steps to do the right things as a husband should be doing to provide for his wife, and if you have a family also. So just, again, a word of advice.
Yeah, and you want the consistency, you know. I mean, and anybody can act like a Christian for a day. It's on the long term, and that's exemplified by oftentimes behavior, their language, what's their passion. I mean, is it being about the things of God or is it the things of the world? And opportunity to still observe any bad habits that might be carried over. I think all those things are so important. Catherine, I hope that helps. Stay on the line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think will really bless you and bless him as well. And we pray the very best for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas to you, dear. And with that, we'll go to Howard, Washington State. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. I got a quick question on Daniel 12:11-13. Excuse me. 11 says that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Well, that's 30 days over the 1,260. And then right. 12 says, blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days. That's 75 days longer. Now, the first one is the first half of the tribulation, and then there's a break to set up the Antichrist. And then the second one, I don't understand the last 75 days.
Well, many people believe that's where God sets up his kingdom. We know between, as an example, even coming up here in January, there's going to be a transition from the Biden administration to the Trump administration. There's going to be a transition from the way the world was ran under the Antichrist to the way Christ is going to run it. And so that those days are probably has to do with the setup of the, of God's order of things to governance on this world for 1,000 years. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that in the Jewish ways, culture and so forth, there would be 30 days of mourning. And the Bible says that he's going to gather the children of Israel, Matthew 24:30, that they'll be gathered together from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. Jesus will gather at his second coming all the children of Israel. And they're going to mourn that they had killed their Messiah and they had not received him the way they should have as a people. And so 30 days of mourning, as well as possibly cleansing of the temple at that time. And many believe the extra 45 days, that would be 1260 plus 30, puts you at 1290. Then there's an extra 45 days, 1335. They believe that that is the time of the separating of the sheep and the goats. And thus the sheep are allowed, who did not take the mark of the beast, are allowed to come into the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then the goats are going to be cast off to Hades, waiting for the final judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. So those are what's believed by Bible scholars and ourselves, this 30 days of mourning and cleansing, and then 45 days of the separation. So those things will take place.
Yeah, all the things necessary to set up the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, again, remember that this time of separation, sheep from the goats, that is not the great white throne judgment. That comes at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And that's when everybody who's died outside of faith stands before the Lord and gives account of their life. So understanding that, I hope that brings some clarity to it, Howard.
Oh, man, you just answered your question that I about the beginning of the millennium. The dogs can't come in. You just answered that one. And then the other question I got is, there's going to be a second resurrection, I read in the Bible, where, that would probably be it. It's going to raise Daniel up from the dead. And I believe it's for the believing Jews, because the rapture has already happened. Where did I read
right,
that?
Right.
In 13.
What was that question again?
Going to be raised. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. What was that question again? The resurrection?
Yeah, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, talking to Daniel, and will
right.
arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Would that be the end of the millennium or the beginning of the millennium?
That would be the beginning of the millennium, that as Daniel would be, the book is sealed. Daniel was to be sealed. It's going to be unveiled in the last days, which now when we read it, we see, we understand it and fully, because we have the entire work of Scripture. And that would be leading us all the way through the book of Revelation, of course. So we can compare the notes between the what the Bible says in Revelation and what it says in Daniel. Daniel will be raised up along with all the Old Testament saints and be with the Lord. And we will all reign and rule in that time period in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Most believe that. So that would be taking place. So there's the resurrection unto condemnation or damnation, and there's going to be a resurrection unto the eternal life. And those who are believers in the Messiah to come, like Daniel was, will be there, as well as we that believe in the Messiah that came, we will be there also. Mike?
Yeah, and they're in heaven now. After the supreme sacrifice, Jesus dying on the cross, Abraham's bosom being cleared out, when mm-hmm. we find the Old Testament prophets, and of course you have Enoch and Elijah, the two in the Old Testament that did not die a normal death, they are witnesses during the tribulation period, warning the world not to take the mark of the beast and declaring to the world that this is a false system. They're finally killed, and I believe they will, of course, be back with us. Now, another thing we want to add in here in those 70-some days between that discrepancy that you come up with. We also have to remember the Bible says God, Jesus, makes and restores the earth. And so there's a time of restoration that God will do because the world is pretty much decimated. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, unless those days were shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. So had the tribulation not been 7 years long, but let's say 14 years long or 10 years long, I think man would have completely annihilated himself off the earth. And, you know, this is not really hard to believe because people outside of faith, just the humanists, look at the doomsday clock, the atomic doomsday clock. They say the same thing. The only problem is they have no solution, and we do. They just say, well, let's all just share all the world. Let's all groove to one another. Hey, listen, the problem is with that, the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You'll never have global peace without the Prince of Peace. And you cannot legislate peace. I remember when I was in high school, an old friend named John, Johnny Peck, and if you're listening, I love you. But he said, you know, he said, when I was a kid, he said, we had two dogs in the backyard. They were biting and nipping at each other. And he said, you know, I thought if I could just make these two dogs kiss and make up, they'd like each other. So he says, I grabbed the head of one of them and I grabbed the head of the other one and I stuck their two snouts together to make them kiss and make up. I said, well, what happened? He says, well, after that, they tried to kill each other and continued to do so till we got rid of one of them. You can't force somebody to love someone. You can't do it. And we understand the heart has to change. And so you're always going to have global turmoil. And that's what the whole Battle of Armageddon is about. They all gather in the Valley of Megiddo for the Battle of Armageddon, not to fight Jesus initially, but to fight each other. Then when Jesus comes back in the cloud with the saints, and this is where the church and all those saints in the Old Testament that love God, we all come back to rule and reign with him. They turn from fighting each other and fight against the Lord. And this is where the Bible says blood splashes as high as the horse's bridle. This giant valley, it's just carnage everywhere. The birds of the air come and feast. There's so much flesh that is there to eat. So, no, the dawning of the age of Aquarius, friends, is not good. And the world will be as one, as John Lennon said. Friends, ain't going to happen until Jesus Christ comes back. Howard, hope that helps.
Oh, man, what a blessing. Thank you, guys.
God bless you, Howard. And if you need us, we're here for you. Stay in line. Send you the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, as well as Time to Grow, a great book for new believers, as well as reminding us of our relationship with God, and also a very good book when you are looking for a church. Do they follow these basic principles? And then also 101 Last Days Prophecies. So exciting in the times we're in. Stay in line, Howard. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to James. Hi, and welcome.
Hello.
Arkansas. Hi. Hi, James, Arkansas. How can we help?
I heard you guys discuss in Freemasonry yesterday. I didn't have a chance to comment. But there are a lot of Freemason members who are Christians. You're not required to be a Christian to join. You do have to acknowledge Almighty God. But I think the problem comes in when it's being compared to like the church, and it's not designed to be a church, and people start coming out with propaganda to try to demonize things.
Are you a Mason? Are you a Mason?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What level are you at?
And there's nothing. The third degree. But
a third degree. I don't have a problem with third degree Masons. I have a problem when they get above the 27th level. That's where you start getting into the trouble. Daryl, your thoughts.
Well, my grandfather, you know, and I knew him very well, and he would have told me, and we would have dropped out altogether. But the problem comes in, if you're trying to compare it biblically to make it a biblical organization, just, I mean, you acknowledge God in the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a lot of, I mean, they swear to Almighty God or used to in the court of law. God's mentioned in lots of things that's not, it's God's acknowledged, it, but not the, they're not holding church is what I'm trying to say.
No, and we know that. We're not trying to, we've never implied that they are a church. The problem is when you get into the high levels of Masonry, it wants to supplant an individual's relationship with God with the different oaths that you must take in being a high level Mason. And this is one of the, this is the problem. You know, it's like anything. I mean, you can be in the Corvette Club, a Civitan. There's a lot of different, different organizations you can be part of. But the problem is that I find with any religion, any organization, any club, the farther you get into it, the more secrets are revealed. And this is where the danger come from. You know, years ago, you know, I was in a car club and it wasn't, well, you know, now once you're in the inner sanctum, once you're in the inner circle, we'll reveal to you that we believe, you know, these cars or something other than cars or something. No, it was just what it is what it is. And the same way it is with Christianity. You know, when you become a Christian, there's no secrets and okay, now we'll reveal to you the deep inner sanctums of Christianity. No, not at all. Jesus died for all of us, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah, I'm going to continue to learn about God, the great promises that God has for us until we go be with him. But there's no, oh, and now that we can trust you with our inner secrets, now we'll let you know. This is exactly what the Masons do. The higher level you get, the more that's revealed. Well, I don't. If you're dragging out a protractor and a compass to design something or to figure out something was built, I don't have a problem with that. But it's what is required for them to say to be in these other higher levels of Masonry. Now, yesterday, Daryl, you went over some of those things that are required. Now, I want to tell you something, James, very important. And this is what I found in Christianity, in very well-meaning denominations. I have seen denominations that you can go to that love Jesus, that are right on with God, and you can go to the same name brand in a different town, and I don't even know if the minister is saved. So I want to say probably there are different enforcements of Masonry in different places and probably different things that people do or omit in Masonry like you would in church or anything else. In other words, you can have two churches. In fact, Calvary Chapels, for instance. You'll go to some Calvary Chapels that believe in the rapture of the church and the Jews are back in Israel again and all these things. You can go to another church with the name Calvary Chapel on it. They don't believe anything. So we can't go by name brands. And I want to make that clear because, James, I think sometimes, like you said, my grandfather would have told me if there was something weird or hidden, may very well be. He may have been an upper level, but not into that dark side. I don't know. Daryl, your thoughts.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of information as I've tried to do a little more research. And it says all members of Freemasonry must believe in a deity. Different religions acknowledge the same God, but they call him by different names. Freemasonry invites people of all faiths, even if they use different names, for the nameless one of 100 names. They are praying to the one God and Father of all. Manly Hall, a 33rd degree Mason, wrote the following. The true Mason is not creed bound. He realizes with the divine illumination of his lodge that as a Mason, his religion must be universal. Christ, Buddha, or Muhammad, the name means little, for he recognizes only the light and not the bearer. This is found in the Lost Keys of Freemasonry, page 65, cited by Weiss. So, with that belief system from one of the top leaders of Freemasonry at one time, he says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the way, the truth, life. Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. He died on the cross for our sins, but yet he's been exercised out as just another leader of some religion, like a prophet of others, and he's not declared the one and only way. And to me, I would not want to belong to an organization that would have that type of belief system. And I'm just, we don't have time to go into greater details, but with that type of belief system, as I shared yesterday, they refer to God as the Supreme One, if I can remember correctly, supreme in authority, what does it say? The supreme, supreme being, I'm sorry, there you go. Whoever that may be, the God of Islam, Hinduism, or any other religion will do. So Freemasonry says, here's our Bible, here's our beliefs regarding the Bible, but it's not the Bible itself. And the creed, we have sound, what's called sound doctrine when it comes to the creeds of the Christian faith. We have salvation by the grace of God through faith. We have the regeneration by the Holy Spirit to be born again. We have the blood atonement of Christ there upon the cross. We have the final judgment, either going to heaven or going to hell, depending on what you decide on Jesus Christ. So what we're trying to declare is that the Word of God is the way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. And there's only one God. There's many false gods, but there's only one God and true God, and he's found through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. So he's our Savior. So it's important that when we declare what we believe, it's not a declaration of an organization. It could be like you might say Jehovah's Witness, or you could say Mormons, because they believe in a different Jesus. To Mormons, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. And to the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is the Archangel Michael. So with those two belief systems, they're totally wrong. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is deity. He came and died on the cross for our sins. That's why he says, go ye therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sounds like we've got a break, Mike.
Yeah, and so I think that's what's important, James. And if you have to deny Jesus is the only way to become a 33-degree Mason, then that's in error, and that's forcing people to do something contrary to Scripture. Coming up on a break, everyone, don't go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this.
But the reality is, there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed, because when I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 15th, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of Trevor Van Answer here on this Thursday afternoon. And you know, Daryl, again, I think we lost our caller, maybe thought we were over. We were going to come back to you. That's what we wanted to do. See what your understanding of that was, because I think it's really important that we understand that, you know, like I say, name churches, denominational churches will have completely different doctrines from one town to the next. And maybe that's the way it is sometimes with Freemasonry. I don't know. But if you get to the actual nuts and bolts from the people who are in control of the organization, just as you read, Daryl, this is where they stand. And any organization, club, that requires me to say all paths lead to God, it doesn't matter whether you use the name Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad, it all means the same thing, is Antichrist. And that's serious. That is absolutely serious. And again, they don't often reveal where they're really at. They don't really reveal, again, these secrets until you get into these upper levels where you're so far in and so deep into it, you can't almost get out of it. And so I believe this is why we have to be very careful. And again, I hope that answered it for you. I was going to send you out some books and everything, but you're welcome to call back in and do that. And if you come up with more information, hey, we'd love to talk about it, because it is important and we want to do a good job for the King. Let's go to Fanasia in Coachella, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, pastors. I have my dear brother Jose on the line. He has something he wants to say.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, pastors? My name's Jose. I'm from Indio, California, just right next door to Coachella. I've been a catechist for about 8 years now with the Knights of Columbus as well. And me and she's my sister-in-law, Sister Fanasia. What we're discussing, I was saying, as far as the Bible, the King James Version Bible and the canonized Catholic Bible. And, you know, I was letting her know, well, historically speaking, the Protestant movement happened in 15 and whatever. I can't quote the year exactly. And after that came the King James Bible. So the only, I guess, it's to simplify it a little better, it's like, well, which Bible was first? And well, the Catholic Bible was first. It was before the King James Bible. You know, and they had their movement. I didn't want to get into the discussion of why they left the Catholic Church, and they had their reasons, and they thought this wasn't God inspired and ipso facto and all these, you know, other little things, but just the fact of the Bible, the Bibles themselves. So I just wanted, they say you guys are, you know, pastors, you guys know the Word of God. You guys, I'm assuming, know plenty of historical facts. And I just kind of wanted to hear from you guys that, as far as the historical fact that the Catholic Bible, you know, was written first, obviously, and then came the King James Bible.
Well, yeah, your Catholic Bible reads, I think, very similar to the King James, because I believe the Catholic Bible was based off of the received text from Antioch, where Paul's headquarters were. And the problem is, when you really read the Bible says, call no man father, but your father which art in heaven. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's Christ Jesus. Yet they say, well, you can pray to Mary or one of the saints to have your sins forgiven, or go through a priest. We find the idea of purgatory never found in Scripture anywhere. And so this is where those Reformation ideas came from, was going against added stuff that wasn't really in the original Scripture and still isn't. So your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, when we look at the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, any of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, the New Testament written in Greek. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that was written in 95 AD. So the Bible was there, and it was used by the apostles, of course, as they wrote the Scriptures, distributed the Scriptures amongst the early believers. Now, where were the early believers? They were all over the world. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, God had that Hebrews from all over the world had come to celebrate Pentecost in Jerusalem. They're from all the nations of the world, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. 3,000 were saved that day by Peter's preaching. Peter was not the first pope. He refers to himself as a fellow elder in 1 Peter chapter 5. He never called himself the pope. And the keys of the kingdom were given to all the disciples and to every believer. We have the keys to the kingdom. And so because we're all, in fact, the Bible says we're all saints. Roman Catholic Church says only certain ones, special ones, are saints. So it's important for us to realize that the fullness of the scriptures was already given in 95 AD. And then it was distributed amongst the churches, and the spirit-filled believers on Pentecost went out and spread the gospel, the good news. And the gospel began to be spread forth, and the books of the Bible were spread forth, and then they became canonized later on around 300 or so AD. And that's the Old Testament and the New Testament being canonized, meaning that it's all inspired by God and is sent forth to the world. Now, when you talk about the Protestant Reformation there in 1500s by Martin Luther, what are we talking about? Protestant means a protest against the Roman Catholic Church. He wrote up a 95 points theses that he nailed in the Wittenberg Church, and that was a protesting against all the corruption of the Roman Catholic Church. Today, the Roman Catholic Church says, go to these various places like Fatima and Medjugorje to Georgia and experience the apparitions of Mary. That's demonic. There are no apparitions of Mary. You're not to go there and seek Mary at these places. It's demonic. God doesn't bring people back from the dead to appear like Mary. Mary is not your advocate to Jesus. The Bible says that Mike just shared, there's one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus, who died and gave his life a ransom for many. There's only one mediator. And he's the only one we go to for salvation, not Mary. And the only one that we pray through is Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He never said, ask anything in Mary's name. That's not the gospel. So these things are the corruptions of the Roman Catholic Church that Martin Luther was dealing with, and we still deal with today, because we have Pope John Paul. Just a few years ago, when he was alive, he took the Holy Quran, he took the Quran, and he kissed it, and he called it the Holy Quran. How could you do that? We have pictures of it. We have evidence thereof. How can you do that? There's only one holy book. It's the Bible. So this is the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church that we try to share with people so they come to the truth through the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Mike?
And if you want to go even farther back, when it comes to the Apocrypha, for instance, that is in the Catholic Bible and not in the King James Bible that we have today, Jesus never quoted from any of the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha was never included in any Hebrew writings, which far exceed in age the Catholic Church. These were added in later. Now, the Maccabees is kind of interesting concerning Jewish history, but some of the other books are just flat out whacked out. They're in the stratosphere. How to cast out a demon is one of the most bizarro things you'll ever read, which Jesus never followed, nor did any of the apostles either. So the Apocrypha to me is left out for a reason. It's not saying that these books aren't old. It doesn't maybe say that they don't have some value, but they are not scripture. And that's why they're not in the Bible that far precedes the Catholic Church. And again, Jesus never quoted from them, nor did any of the New Testament prophets quote from them as well. So this is why we find the situation where we're at. And Jose, I hope that helps.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
And there was a lot wrong in the Catholic Church. It did a lot of things that, you know, doesn't speak for the Catholic Church of today, and they do some wrong today even. But what I'm saying is that the Eucharist, Catholic Church has the Eucharist. We have the body and the blood of Christ, and not any other church has that. Now, I didn't want to get to that. The only reason I was calling is because Sister Phanasia was saying, well, you know, we have the King James Version Bible came after the Catholic Bible. That's the only thing. We got kind of off topic there, and I respect everybody believes to believe however they want to believe, and, you know, with the Virgin and all that, which is, we venerate her, we don't worship her. You know, I to go to a Protestant church,
And I believe God brought me back to my Catholic church, my you know, where I was, you know, I didn't become a practicing Catholic until like 8 years ago, but I was born baptized a Catholic. And yes, you guys have a lot of knowledge. A lot of the stuff you guys said is truth, but the only reason I called was for Sister Phanasia she's aware that the King James Version published Bible came after the Catholic Bible. That's the main reason. Because she believes, no, we are, well, this is the real Bible.
That's where you're not exactly right. The King James Version of the Bible came from the pre-written scriptures that became the inspired Word of God, which, like I said, the last book of the Bible is written 95 AD. The Roman Catholic Church came around 350 to 400 AD. So the books were already written, and they were put together. And believers that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who were born-again believers, were killed. Many of them were killed by the Roman Catholic Church because they would not worship the Pope, and they would not follow the dictates of the Roman Catholic Church. God has always had a witness, true believers as witnesses of the gospel. They preach the word of God, they teach the word of God, and many of them have been persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. So the history of the Roman Catholic Church is very deadly, and it's not pure at all. It was tremendous corruption, such as selling indulgences for the forgiveness of your sins. Oh, what sin did you commit? Oh, that's a whopper sin. You have to give this much money to the Roman Catholic Church. Well, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But they were selling, they were making money off of people's sin and telling the people, you got to give us money for these indulgences, what was called indulgences. There was another thing that you had mentioned in regards to Mary and so forth. When it comes to praying, the people take rosary beads and they go one bead after another and they repeat the same prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace, or Our Father who art in heaven. And yet Jesus says, don't do repetitious prayers. Why? He doesn't want you to think of God as a machine. He's not a machine. And you don't need beads. You don't need repetition. You know that Buddhists use beads. Buddhists also have prayer wheels. And it's the same similar thing of chanting, repeating things over and over again. See, we have to realize this. Satan is a master counterfeiter, and he'll get you into a religious system, but he'll keep you away from sound doctrine that's found in the Word of God. What we're trying to share with you is sound doctrine and the false doctrines, the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. When you talked about the Eucharist, that's having communion for those that don't know, and the little juice cup, it doesn't turn into the actual blood of Jesus. That's not his actual blood, and the bread doesn't turn into his actual body. It was representing what he would do for us on the cross. He tore the bread. He said, this is my body, I will die for you. And then the blood says, it's the cup of the new covenant. And he says, as you do these things, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What is the purpose of having communion? We're proclaiming the Lord's death till it comes. It's not turning into his actual blood and actual body.
And Jesus said that too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he didn't snap a thumb off in the Last Supper in the upper room, and he stood before the disciples and he slit his wrist and poured the blood into a cup. This is my blood, which was shed for you. Now, I'd say if he did that, the Catholic Church may be right, but very clearly it was not. It was grape juice, if you will, wine, if you will. When he said, this is my body that's broken for you, and he took the bread and he broke it, he didn't snap a thumb off and pass his broken off thumb around to the disciples and say, here, chew on this. This is my body. No, it's very clear in the Last Supper, it was symbolic. Jesus Christ, the bread that came down from heaven. He was the manna that came down from heaven. But to get into this idea that it's a carbohydrate, but the minute that it goes into your mouth, it becomes a protein. They actually did scientific tests on this, found it was not true. It stayed a carbohydrate. The bread stayed bread. The wine stayed wine. The wine did not turn into blood once it's in your mouth. The bread did not turn into flesh once it entered your mouth. And this is what it is. Now, does that change a person really from being a believer? No, I don't believe that. And by the way, just to let you know, Jose, I have met Catholic priests that have put Mary in her proper place. And you actually mentioned that. put Mary in her proper place, and Jesus is Lord. And I've had great fellowship with some Catholics because they know who Jesus Christ is. They don't believe you have to go through a priest. Most of these Catholics that I'm speaking of follow what's called the American Catholic Conference. And it's different than the Roman Catholics that we find primarily in Europe and, of course, in Rome. The American Catholic Conference, though, has really done, I think, a good job in many ways of removing many of the traditions of men and going back to the Bible. And like I say, I've met priests and had fellowship with them. And it's okay. But others, they can be as lost as any cult on earth. Jesus warned us, do not be like the heathen that think that they will be heard for their many words, speaking of vain and repetitious prayers. And yet the priests oftentimes, when you seek forgiveness, well, that requires 4 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven. And you sound like a 57 Chevy with a muffler blown out. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven. That doesn't mean nothing. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Not repeat this prayer mindlessly, but this is the ingredients that a prayer to God should have. Our Father, which should start with praise. Second of all, we realize he's our daddy, our Father, which art in heaven. The cults don't want you to relate with God as a father. You got to earn God's benevolence. You got to get out there and knock on doors, eat organically grown food and wax your dog, you know, help blind cats across the street, that kind of stuff. Do a lot of good deeds. You just might make it. There's where your problem is. We become his child the moment that we say, Father, forgive me. Your son died on the cross for me. Forgive me, I'm a sinner. The Bible says we pass from death unto life. And that's what makes us a Christian, not joining any church on this earth other than the church of fellow believers, universal. And that comes in every shape. I think sometimes in even denominations, different denominations, not everybody that I like what Greg Laurie said one time. He said, going into a church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than going into a McDonald's makes you a hamburger. That's true. And the problem is we think a lot of times, well, because I go to church or I'm a member of this church or that one, or I'm a member of the true church. The only true church is those people who have been saved by Jesus Christ, not a name in a building on a card or on a computer roster. It's your relationship with God. That's all it is, Jose. And that's the goodness of God. You see, I call my God in heaven, Daddy, because I know he loves me as a child. And that's the way God loves you and all of us. It isn't through a religion. Well, you know, and you know, when we say Father, real quick, if you have kids and your kid's done something wrong, your kid doesn't come and have somebody else plead the case. No, because there's that father-child relationship. Honey, what's on your mind? And you set him on your lap, and what do you have to say? This idea of religion, and oh man, this is what God, Jesus, so angry. He said, you have in the book of Revelation, chapter two, Doctrine of the Nicolaitans, chapter two, First Church, Ephesus. You have the Doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. What is Nicolaitans? Priesthood over man. The only priest we have to do with is Jesus Christ. I thank God for pastors and bishops and those that watch over us, but they are to never, ever, under any conditions, get between you and your relationship with God. That is what religion always does. If you want to go to God, you got to come through us because we're the only one that's got all the nickels. Don't buy that chili for all of us anywhere. If you think your church denomination is going to get you to heaven, you're lost. It's Jesus' blood on the cross that makes the difference. Hope that helps.
I don't believe that by me being Catholic, even those that believe that Catholicism is the authority, I agree with you. It's your relationship with Christ. Your belief in Christ is going to give you salvation.
That's, well, and that's, like that's I, a relationship. Jose, like I say, I've had good fellowship with Catholics that love Jesus. They put Mary in her place. They don't believe what the Pope is saying. You can't. If you listen to what the Pope is saying, the outlandish Antichrist junk that this man says, and he's a man, he's not God on earth. I don't care whether he's been approved by a group of men or whatever. Men approve men. But Jesus Christ is God. And when you have men claiming to be God's spokesman saying, well, homosexuality is all right. And you yourself and everybody listening has seen the waffling of the Catholic Church on the whole gay situation. Does God change? Why didn't God just put that back in the Bible? Why did he punish Sodom and Gomorrah over that? Did God do a mistake? No, God changes. No, God doesn't change. In fact, if you read Romans chapter 1, you'll find God never changes. Be that the Pope says, oh, God changed his mind. We got some real issues here. And again, either you're going to follow God's word or you're going to be following the dictates of man. And the dictates of man will lead you astray. So no, I think there's many, many good things about the Catholic Church. But there's also equally very bad things in deep Roman Catholicism, and we've got to be careful of that. And I can say the same for Protestantism as well. Well, unless you're baptized four times forward and two times backwards, you're not really baptized. I've heard all kinds of crazy stuff. The Bible says when Jesus come up out of the water, hey, that's good enough for me. Good enough for God, good enough for me. But oh no, we have all these rituals. This is adding to God's word. Jesus said this, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Not making up a bunch of stuff. And again, when I see any man, whether he's a guy in the street, has a sign, will work for food, or a guy in Rome with a big funny hat, saying God changed his mind on things the Bible says are prohibited, I know they're lying. And that's just the bottom line. Hope that helps you. And again, I'd like to send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, because I think they'd really, really help. And it's called Time to Grow. And then the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke. You'll really like it. It's almost word for word right out of the Bible. And then 101 Last Days Prophecies, Fantasia, that I'd like to send you as well as Jose, because I love your zeal, Jose, and I want you to keep going. But go to God's word. That's where the strength is. And again, I tell people, just start reading the book of John. You can't lose. It'll help you. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. I want to try to get in one more call here. We have Mike on the line in Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted are we actually seeing the birth pangs? I believe we're seeing birth pangs as far as wars and rumors before, but when Jesus said about earthquakes in diverse places, you know, about a 4.0 and a 5.0 and a 6.0 here and there, I don't think it's getting a lot of people's attention, but a 9.0 and 8.0 and a 6.0, I think would. Are we actually seeing what Jesus talked about as earthquakes in diverse places?
Well, I believe that diverse places means everywhere, maybe in places that don't normally have them. And of course, we're talking, I think, major tectonic plate movement in the last days. Revelation chapter 6 says every mountain and island moves out of its place. That is major tectonic plate movement. Now, again, off the coast of California, 7.0, I believe just a few hours ago, just happened. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when Jesus says there's going to be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, also that there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places, also that we're going to be persecuted throughout the world. These are the beginning of birth pains. And that birth pain speaks of a woman going into labor, which as time goes on, the pains become more intense and they become more frequent. And we're seeing the frequency and the intensity of our world right now against God, against Christ. And these other events taking place, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes. Just go to the earthquake. I can't remember the name of the place, but geological.
USGS.
Yeah, USGS. Thank you, Mike. And you'll get all the information on earthquakes throughout the entire world. They're just not all reported to us, but it's rocking and rolling right now because we're in the last days.
Yeah, and you've got Putin threatening global nuclear war almost every day now. And so that, to me, is extremely serious. Now, it just takes a birth pain of an atomic warhead going off somewhere made by anybody, wreck your day. And so I don't believe this is hard to understand, hard to believe. And again, as I've told people, you can take God out of the picture. Look up on your internet, nuclear doomsday clock. They said it's the closest it's ever been. So I think, again, they have no answers, but we do in Christ. Amen. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Hope you're ready to go, everybody. God's in love with you. And again, keep that relationship with him. Thank you, Daryl, for being
on.
Please call us back tomorrow if you didn't get on. God bless you. Good night.
Copy of today's program. Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.